Father in heaven, I want to thank you for each and every person who's come this morning, because I'm absolutely sure that no one is here by a mistake. It's because you are a great God and you make everything providential. And now I just pray that you would speak loud and clear to us, Lord, so we'd be ready for what's coming, but not fear. For you always said, I'll be with you and never forsake you. So use me, Lord, in spite of me. And Lord, block Satan's efforts to distract, so that our minds and our hearts can be open to receive whatever it is you have for all of us. So let the peace of heaven rest on this sanctuary and keep Satan and his evil spirits and his agents out of here, so we can honor you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. On Monday, I had in my driveway a Seventh-day Adventist man, very distraught, going through some really hard times. And as I was listening to him and reflecting on what he had to say, all of a sudden he just sort of said, you know, it really doesn't matter, because on the 28th of September, everything is going to change. And I was like, oh yeah? What's that? And then he introduced me to the tetrad. How many of you know about the tetrad? And if you do, don't raise your hand. The tetrad is the blood moon. And the tetrad is four. So on September 28th is going to be the fourth blood moon. I have this sheet of paper here about all this. And then it lists all the crises, the financial crises that have occurred on the Shinto. And that's the sabbatical every 7 years or whatever. And then with this, the Pope's going to be here. It doesn't matter. And so, folks, let's put this all in perspective. Okay? I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would. Turn with me to Matthew 24. And let's put this into perspective. Because if you are, let's see, what's a word that's better than the word I'm thinking of? If you are scared about what is coming shortly, I want to calm your fears. Not because Jesus isn't coming soon, but you better place your understanding based on the right information and not the wrong information. So let's look at Matthew 24. I want to show you something that perhaps you never noticed, maybe you have. And we'll start with verse number 3, Matthew 24. Children, you have your Bibles open, turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Here's what it says. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you, for many are coming in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Then he went on to say, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will see that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine and pestilence and earthquake in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And then many false prophets will arise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Let's stop right there just for a second. Here's what impressed me the most. Now, we all know about the natural disasters. Folks, they're happening everywhere. If you haven't woke up the fact that Jesus is coming soon, this is a wake-up call for you. Okay? But the world isn't going to end when the Pope gets here. And I don't care if there's a blood moon on the 28th. And something could even happen. I know God didn't orchestrate that. And notice, if you will, here in the first, I just read 13 chapters and I stopped short. Twice in 13 verses, I just said chapters, twice it says, do not be deceived. Did you catch that? In fact, when they said, tell us about the last days, the first thing out of Jesus' mouth, don't be deceived. Many will come in my name. And they're going to give you all kinds of theories. By the way, that blood moon is all based on the Jewish calendar, folks. The church today is the Israel of God, not Israel. They crucified the Savior. They relinquished their chosen people status, although they still are allowed salvation if they accept Jesus. Just like you and me. And I'm listening to this guy, and he's mixing in all kinds of evangelical dispensationalism with Bible prophecy. By the way, I took a chance here in all this. I admit it. I took a chance. You may say evangelicalism and dispensationalism. Well, the vast majority of Christians believe that we're going to be raptured, folks. The temple is going to be rebuilt, and they're going to start the sacrifices, and the Jews are going to be the ones to evangelize. That isn't anywhere in the Bible. It's all based on inference. I don't want my people going ballistic just because the Pope is coming. But we're going to look and see it's serious. But we know how it's going to go in the last days, or we should know, because we are the people of prophecy. We were called into existence. In fact, the book of Revelation clearly pinpoints the Seventh-day Adventist Church. A group of people who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus and preach the three angels' messages in the last days. Who is that? Who is that? Yes. Now, that doesn't make us exclusive. It doesn't make us a country club. In fact, it puts a heavy responsibility on our shoulders because we are to share that. But I don't want anybody going ballistic over the fact the Pope's coming. Because I'll tell you, there are a couple other things that also need to happen after that. But let me tell you what Paul said. By the way, let me finish Matthew here. I'm not going to read anymore, but I am going to jump to verse number 23. Okay? So notice, verse 4, it says, for many will come in my name, saying, take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And then verse 11, for many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And then we go to verse 23. Then if anyone say to you, look, here's Christ, or there, Do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise, showing great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. Now, how many times in Matthew 24 does he mention that one thing? 4, 11, 23. The Trinity. Three times. Don't be deceived. Oh, friends, among all others, we should know. We should know. And we should understand that this is part of the process. But it doesn't catch us by surprise. Take a look what Luke says. Luke says one verse. I want you to look at Luke 21. Here's what Luke says. And this is the whole point of the sermon. In fact, there's two points. This is point number one. But I'm going to get specific with you so you know that this isn't trivial. It's deep. Take a look at verse 28. Do you have Luke 21, 28? Do you? All right. Here's what it says. Now, when these things begin to happen, what are you supposed to do? Look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. All right. So when these things begin to happen, where should we be looking? And do you know where everybody else is looking? Let me read to you. I had to go through this, and it was very interesting. So I went on a whole bunch of websites, a whole bunch of evangelical websites. Listen to this. Point number two under the current events prophecy of where we are. Okay? Here's what it says. Number two, Israel, God's timepiece. It has been said, if you want to know what time it is on God's calendar, keep an eye on Israel, for it's God's timepiece. Now, wait a minute. What did Luke say we're supposed to do? Look up. And when we look up, what is it we're supposed to be looking at? I heard somebody say it. Where is he? Where in the heavenly what? As our what? Our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. That's where we're to be looking. And they're telling us to look at Israel. Folks, don't look at Israel, please. And it isn't because they're evil, wicked, rotten, low down, crummy, no good people. The church is made up of sinners. That is not where our salvation is. The ministry of Christ in the heavenly sanctuary is where we're supposed to be looking by faith. We are not to be looking down. If we do, we are going to be deceived by all these theories. You should read some of them. I'm going to try this. It says here, the timepiece, God's timepiece is Israel. The scriptures relating to Israel's prophetic role in the end time are too numerous to follow. This is the group of people that Jesus looked at them and said, your house is left unto you desolate. And he turned and he walked out of the temple for the last time. And then when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, exposing to the sight of all the most holy place. Where, by the way, the Ark of the Covenant no longer resided, because they had lost that when Babylon came and destroyed the city. And so it says, it's too numerous to follow. But we will monitor some of the most important ones. Perhaps one of the most important ones is Daniel 9:27. He will confirm the covenant with many for 1:7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to the sacrifices and offerings. And on the wings of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out upon him. The book of Daniel reveals that one final period of 7 years has been reserved for God's plan to be completed. Get this. This period of 7 years is described in the book of Revelation and climaxes in Armageddon. However, when does this seven-year period begin? It says he refers to the Antichrist will confirm the seven-year treaty, and it will confirm, and it is this confirmation of the treaty with Israel and many nations for 7 years will start the final countdown. You will also notice clear reference to this. He, Antichrist, puts an end to sin, puts an end to sacrifices. Who puts an end to sacrifices? The Antichrist? Folks, that's talking about Jesus. He confirmed the covenant for the last 7 years of the 490-year prophecy. If I'm losing you, you need to get on the ball. They take the last 7 years of a prophecy where nowhere in the Bible does it say you're allowed to do this, and they put it way in the future. And then they tell me that this is Antichrist who puts an end to the sacrifices and oblations. That was the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary that put an end. Not the Antichrist in the future. I want you to have this all straight in your head. Why? We've got to explain that to them. They need to know that they're being deceived by false prophets. And some of them are better Christians than we are. I wish I could go more deeply into this, folks. Paul says, or Luke says, look up. And what do we see up? Jesus. Where is he? The high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. And that reminds us of the book of Daniel and Revelation. And when we read it, we see what plays out in the last days. Has nothing to do with blue moons. Has nothing to do with the Jewish calendar. You should go on the internet. No, don't. And stop listening to those evangelical stations and these guys that come out with this stuff. Folks, when they make Antichrist the one that does away with the sacrifices and oblations, you don't need to listen to them. Do you understand that? And so what does he say? Look up. Look what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. Learn of me. Look up. Where's Jesus? The heavenly sanctuary. What's he doing? He's the high priest. What's he doing as high priest? He's finishing the work of judgment. Where do you find that? The book of Daniel and Revelation. What does that have to do with Israel? Absolutely nothing. And by the way, God loves the Israelites as much as he loves you and me. The key is accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So let's move on, because the Bible clearly says, look up, and he said, take my yoke upon you and learn about me. This is who we need to be focusing on, Jesus. And by the way, Jesus is the center. Of all prophecy. Did you know that? Yeah. He's the center of all prophecy. When you're studying prophecy, you're studying about Jesus. But let's get a little more context here. Go to Revelation 13. So what is significant about the Pope coming? Revelation 13. Check this out. Then I stood on the sands of the sea, verse 1, and I saw the beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horn 10 crowns, and on the head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his throne, his great authority. And I saw one of the heads, his heads, as if it had been mortally wounded, and this deadly wound was healed. Look at verse 12, please. 12. Ready? And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and caused the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now take a look, if you would, at verse 14. Verse 14 says, and he deceived those who dwelled on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. 3 times in Revelation 13, which introduces 2 beasts. And one of the first beasts happens to be exactly the same one as Daniel 7. 3 times it tells us what happens. 3 times. I just read it to you. Oh man, I stumped you. It had a deadly wound. By the way, in the Greek, that means death wound, killed, murdered, and yet was healed. Healed. This beast was wounded or killed and came back to life in the last days and forced all, rich and poor, free and bond, to worship the beast and his image. The deadly wound was healed. Okay, check this out. This is from the Boston Globe. Francis is changing all of that. In a series of private meetings brokered by old friends from his pre-papal days, Pope Francis has this year spent hours in meetings with major evangelical leaders in the United States, including televangelists such as Joel Osteen, James Robeson, Kenneth Copeland. Where did I write that? Jenny, what's that name again? Yes, you know who wrote Purpose Driven Church. Rick Warren. Thank you. Rick Warren, as well as the head of the World Evangelical Alliance, Jeffrey Tunnicliffe, and the pioneers of the Toronto Blessing, John and Carol Arnott. In July, he made the first ever private visit by a pope to a Pentecostal pastor. You know what Great Controversy says? The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching out their hand across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp the hand of the Roman power. And under the influence of this threefold union, the country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. This is really happening. But just because he's coming, folks, doesn't mean the world's going to end. It's all a part of a process that we have to be aware of. But this is playing out right before our eyes, just like we have always heard. In fact, listen to this one. In January, the South African evangelical bishop called Tony Palmer recorded an iPhone message from Francis to the megachurch in Texas, in which Francis humbly spoke of the miracle of unity that had begun. The video went viral and Palmer was deluged. The video went viral and Palmer was deluged with requests from evangelical leaders wanting to respond. In June, and by I thought this was interesting, comma, a month before Bishop Tony Palmer, a South African evangelical bishop, was tragically killed in a car accident. Palmer took a number of leaders. Together they represented possibly 800 million evangelical Christians to meet Francis, where they proposed signing on the 500th year anniversary of Martin Luther's 95 Theses, that's in 2017, a joint declaration of faith in unity for mission. Point number two of my sermon. Are you reading your great controversy? It's all in here. It tells us exactly how it plays out. We don't need to panic over these things that are occurring. We should know better. By the way, I brought a couple extra copies for anybody who wants one who doesn't have one, so that you can know the real prophecy and how it plays out in the last days. And this book says, as I just read to you, that the Protestants of America will reach out to the Pope and a threefold union will be formed. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And he's coming. He's coming. And by the way, you know what he's going to talk about? He's going to talk about global warming. And that we have a moral responsibility to do something about it. Why? Because it's going to affect the family. Oh boy, you get these buzzwords? And if it affects the family, then our children are going to be hurt. And we must do this for our children. And oh, by the way, all of this will come together far better if we have one day of week rest, and that happens to be Sunday. He's going to say that. He's going to say it to the UN. He's going to say it to the Joint Congress when he comes, I think, the 24th of September. John Boehner, who's the Senate leader of the Republicans, invited the Pope to come. No Pope has ever addressed the joint session of Congress. And he's going to talk about Sunday sacredness. You can bet on it. That's what this book says. And so, folks, let's put it in perspective. We're very blessed. We're blessed because we were called into existence to understand and teach prophecy to people who love Jesus with all their heart but don't understand prophecy. And the book Great Controversy tells the whole story. And so this is what we need to be focusing on, folks. This is where we need to be spending our time. This is where we need to be looking at this moment of Earth's history when all these incredible things are happening. Notice what John 17, verse verse 3 says. I need to wrap it up here. John 17, verse 3. I love this. Jesus is in prayer to His Father. This is Jesus' intercessory prayer just before His crucifixion. And He said this. Now, this is life eternal. What I'm going to say next is what life eternal is all about. And I'm going, wow, I'm reading this prayer. I'm going, I want to hear this. I want to hear this. What is life eternal? Jesus, tell me. You remember the rich young ruler? What must I do to be saved? That's what He said to him. And remember when Paul was preaching, they said, what should we do to be saved? Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, this is life eternal, that they know Me. Actually, it doesn't say that, does it? That they know You and Me. We must know Jesus. Luke said, when these happen, look up. We shouldn't be looking down. We shouldn't be looking at the evangelicals, even though they're wonderful Christian people. By the way, watch out. They're going to catch on fire. They're going to take your place if you're not careful. They might take my place. Israel is not where it's at. He told them the parable. Then He said to them, what do you think this parable means? And all the religious leaders, He'll take the vineyard away from those people and give it to, and they answer this, another nation. Not another group of people. They said another nation. The religious leaders of Israel condemned themselves in the parable Jesus told. And then He said later on, your house is left unto you desolate. And so Israel is no longer the chosen people. They rejected the Messiah. And God gave them 3.5 more years to receive the ministry of the disciples He left behind. And after they stoned Stephen, God called Paul to the ministry, and all all their converts scattered and began preaching the message to the Gentiles. Confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, He will cause the sacrifices and oblations to cease because He died on the cross of Calvary. He put an end to the sacrifices. The veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom, and then God is so gracious and merciful and loving and kind. He gave the Jewish nation 3.5 additional years to accept His Messiahship. And some of them did. And so, my friends, there it is. Look at all these papers. Look at all these papers I got up here. All of this stuff off the internet. You should read some of it. No, I told you not to. I had to. I wanted to understand a little bit better what they were all saying. It's incredible. And they're loving. These people love Jesus, folks. They love Jesus, but they're confused. And so are some of us. There's no call for that. None whatsoever. And so my prayer is that we see these things for what they are, and that we work harder to preach this beautiful message to those sincere people which are getting all kinds of baloney and not the truth. And remember, Elder Ryan is preaching on the 10th, he starts. And we want to invite someone to come with us to hear his series, to put that ball into motion so they too can know and have the assurance that Jesus is in control. He knows what he's doing. He can be trusted. Father in heaven, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for giving us such an incredibly obvious, firm foundation as you have, that in spite of everybody else, we can be sure what the Bible is saying. Oh Lord, forgive us for not taking greater advantage of it. And help us, because those good people out there, Lord, need and want, some of them want to know. And no one's telling them if we don't. So please help us, Lord. I want you to bless every person in this congregation. I want your Spirit to move upon all of our hearts. And anything that we need to negotiate between you and ourselves, Lord, help us to do it so that our conscience can be clear and you can direct us to those people who really want to know. So don't let anyone leave here today without making a decision. And thank you so much for hearing our prayer and for answering it, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.